Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Alright folks, welcome back to the Mid-American Bandwagon Podcast, episode 78, coming to you live this week, the first episode of the new year. Happy 2022, everyone. Hope you all had a safe and happy new year and a happy holiday season. Got a lot to get to here tonight, joined by fellow Hustle Belter, Zach Vanuenzi. Vanzi, how you doing tonight, man?
Oh, pretty good. Just enjoying the ice cold weather out here in Michigan and looking forward to some warmer days, you know, either on the hardwood or in the weather wise.
Totally agree with you. Yeah, it's funny here in Pittsburgh. You know, we had even through over the holidays of the last week, we had a couple like 50 degree days. And then here just today, it's like kind of it's dropped into the 20s. It was very sudden. But hey, Vanzi, before we get into anything else here, I got to ask you, as an Eastern Michigan alum, someone close to the university, close to the athletic department, us here at the Hustle Belt, what do we got to do to get some of this game above money that the Eagles are throwing around? I see Charlie Batch tweeting at recruits that is saying, come to Yipsy for a cool million for 1 year. What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that, I know some of them read my tweets and stuff. So I'm kind of hoping that, they throw some my way. I could put out some tweets, this tweet sponsored by Game Above, and I'll do it for a little bit less than a million, but Game Above is a great organization. A lot of, I think we've talked about it on here before with the George Gervin, but a lot of former athletes, a lot of leaders in their industry, giving back to EMU. They got their name on the science building, scholarships, now in the basketball arena. And, I know there's been some pushback from the current student athletes who are kind of wondering, where's their bag, as the kids say, but, Caleb Williams isn't coming to EMU, but hey, at least it's got EMU in the news. And I hope the dialogue now is open for the current student athletes, to potentially get some money out of this.
Totally agree. It's crazy how fast this has changed where just back, what was it? July, August, the NIL stuff kind of rolled out. And now here we are, 6 months later, kids, student athletes getting seven-figure offers. It is pretty crazy, but I agree with you. Obviously, we know Caleb Williams isn't going to Ypsilanti as much as we'd love to see it, but it does at least gets Eastern Michigan some press, gets him in the news, which is certainly good stuff. Let's jump into it here, Vanzi. One last bowl game we didn't get a chance to talk about last week. We had the Central Michigan Chippewas. Quite an interesting story, as we've talked about previously, just to remind everyone, they're scheduled to go to Tucson for the Barstool Arizona Bowl, taking on Boise State. Boise State drops out with COVID issues. Meanwhile, Washington State's down in El Paso, Texas, getting ready to take on Miami. Miami has to drop out of the Sun Bowl also because of COVID issues. And so in a matter of about 48 hours, the Sun Bowl organizers brought CMU and Washington State together. We had ourselves a bowl game. And Vanzi gave us probably, best result of the bowl season for the MAC, with Central Michigan knocking off the Pac-12 Cougars 24-21. First bowl win for Central Michigan since 2012. Again, in my opinion, best win of the bowl season for the MAC. Chips were up 21-0 at halftime before second half turnovers let the Cougs back in the game. Chippewas finished the season 9-4. Vanzi, a little bit of a slow start to the year for the Chippewas. I think back to that Miami game when their offense really couldn't do much of anything and was looking like they had some issues offensively, but they really kind of turned it on here at the end of the year. 9-4 finish off the season. Again, first bowl win since 2012. A nice way to end the season for Central Michigan, as much as it might hurt you to say that as an Eastern Michigan alum.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Central Michigan, I've always said on this podcast and off this podcast that I believe that good coaching gets good results. And Jim McElwain, former Florida coach, probably one of the more decorated coaches in the MAC. And I think you see that there, where this is a team that started slow and it kind of rounded into form. with some good coaching. Really, they made the move this season when they replaced Jacob Sermon, who is already since transferring out with Richardson. And I think that was really the big change for them. And then they had Lou Nichols and I think this was a very good team. Looking at Central Michigan and looking at the record, I think if you were to restart the season and you were to say, hey, right now is week one today, I would bet they would win the MAC. They seem to be the better team, the best team in the MAC the last six or so weeks, and only lost to NIU very late in that game by one score.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree with you. And you look at the way the Chippewas defense, for the Chippewas has been a little bit maligned this year, especially the pass defense. But man, what a performance that the unit gave them on New Year's Eve against Washington State. Limit the Cougars 250 total yards of offense, 25 rushes for 23 yards. Washington State played two quarterbacks. They had their starter, Jaden Delora, got hurt in the first half. Backup Victor Gabalis came in the second half. But even those two guys combined 18 of 40, 227 yards, two touchdowns in this game. So Gabalis in the second half, 11 of 23, 180 yards, two touchdowns. I feel like, though, honestly, Vanzi, like the score in this game, the final score 24-21, to me is not really reflective of how the game played out. I mean, Central Michigan thoroughly and completely dominated the first half of this game. And if it wasn't for a couple of some sloppy play in the third quarter from the Chippewas, the Central Michigan, their first four drives of the second half went fumble, missed field goal, interception, missed field goal. So, those four drives, that right there, Washington State outscores them 14-0 in the third quarter, cuts it to a touchdown. And then, they added another score there in the fourth quarter to make it 24-21. But Vanzi, I was very, very impressed with the Chippewas in this game. And obviously also for, the MAC had some rough performances earlier in bowl season. So it was nice to get a win over a Power 6 team. The MAC finishes collectively 3-5 as a conference here for the bowl season. So what do you think, if someone would have told you before bowl season started, Vanzi, that the MAC would go 3-5 with one victory over a Power 6 team, is that something like to you, is that a good result, or would you have liked to see a little bit more?
Well, I mean, real quick, this isn't just any bowl game. This was the Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
Outside of the New Year's Six, I mean, growing up, I think this was probably one of those games that, you just kind of put higher up on the pedestal. So this was a big game, nationally televised too. So this is tremendous, fly the pirate flag, as the commissioner of the MAC would say.
Yeah.
To knock off a Power 5 school like Washington State, a Power 5 school that had really rounded into form. And I think what's interesting is, neither team really had much time to prepare for one another. It was just kind of roll the balls out there and let's go at it. So really an impressive showing. So I think that's got to kind of lead to MAC. It really kind of changes the narrative if you can have a national televised victory over a Pac-12 school. I was pretty down on the results, but at 3-5, you beat Washington State, and then Western Michigan beats a good Nevada team, and Miami wins their bowl game. I think it goes from an awful showing to, the last week or so of the bowl season to being, something that you can take and potentially build off of going into next year.
Yeah, definitely agree. It definitely seems like the MAC kind of salvaged its bowl season there over the last week or so. So definitely a good way to go into the offseason for the MAC. That'll as we kind of move towards spring practice and continue through the offseason, we'll do some more kind of look backs and of this past year, some previews of next season. We got some stuff in the works there in regards. We'll keep the football talk going all year round. Don't worry about that. Let's move into some basketball here. Been a busy week on the hardwood. Last week we talked about the first week of conference play in basketball, marred here a little bit by some COVID cancellations. There were, four of the six scheduled games last week on the women's side were canceled. I believe it was 3 of 7 for the men. So we had a lot of cancellations in the first week. A couple here still this week. Northern Illinois on the men's side still quarantining, Ohio as well on the women's side. But for the most part, we had a pretty full slate of games this week on both sides of the fence, Vanzi. Let's start with the men's side here. We currently right now, Ohio's sitting at 2-0, first in the conference, 2-0. They got a nice win over Akron the other night. Miami's sitting at 1-0. Eastern Michigan, Vandy, got a nice road win over Western Michigan the other day. So we got, you know, a couple teams undefeated there in the conference at the top standings. Toledo and Kent State both sitting at 2-1. Kent State, a couple nice wins here over the last few days after that that questionable loss to Central Michigan to open MAC play. But, you know, Vanzi, I mean, we look at some of the games here on Saturday. I mean, Akron, Buffalo, got a nice home win there against the Bulls. Kent State with a close win over Toledo. Ohio went on the road and beat Western Michigan. I don't think that surprised anybody. Ball State with a really nice comeback, a last second victory at home over Bowling Green. And then we had a couple postponements as well. But just, you know, what was your general impression of what you saw over the weekend on the men's side of things on the hardwood this week, Vanzi?
Yeah, for me, I just kind of felt I was very surprised. You know, I mean, Kent State, you know, we had talked on this podcast about writing them off. You know, Ball State, we weren't really sure what they had, and they've had a couple of close games now. You know, that nice victory, over Bowling Green, a close one there. So, you know, I think you're just seeing that there's a lot of parity in the conference. I think that's starting to show through, especially with some of these teams maybe not at full strength, kind of the stop and start aspect of it. Kent State beat Toledo. I don't think any of us saw that coming. So, you know, I think, like I said before, I think this could shape up to be anybody's race this year in the MAC. You know, if you play enough games, if you stay healthy, if you have some timely wins, you know, anything could happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, it's crazy because you look at, I feel like to me right now, it seems like, I don't think this is a controversial opinion or anything, but it seems like from what I've seen so far, Akron, Ohio, I would say, you know, Akron, Ohio, I guess I'd probably throw Toledo, Akron, Ohio, Toledo, maybe one more, I don't know, maybe probably Buffalo or Kent State in the top four there. But even those teams, it's like, you know, they've all beat them. They're all beating each other up already. Akron with a nice win at home against Buffalo last week, and then they lose at home to Ohio last night. So, you know, Akron with, you know, kind of they've already played, you know, two of the other competitors. And I feel like also, you know, with Buffalo turns around, you know, they lose by 12 at Akron on Saturday. They turn around last night, take on Bowling Green at home. They're without four of their four players on their roster last night. Buffalo were in COVID protocols, including Josh Mbala, one of the best big men in the conference. And the Bulls put up 99 points on Bowling Green, 99-88. Buffalo knocked off the Falcons, shot 52.7% from the field, won the rebounding battle 38-31. The Bulls had three players over 20 points in this game, and two others in double figures. Jonathan Williams was fantastic, 21.7 rebounds. So was Dennis Skogman, 20 points and 15 rebounds for the big man there, David Skogman, excuse me. So that, and that right there, there's a guy that only averages 6 and 5 a game. So he's giving you 20 and 15, stepping up in their place. I got to be honest, Vinzi, I was a little bit concerned with some of the performances I saw from Buffalo in the non-conference. You know, that loss to Canisius was bad. That loss to Stephen F. Austin was bad. And even the loss at Akron last week was not great, but I was very encouraged. If I'm a Buffalo fan, I'm very encouraged by what I saw against Bowling Green the other night, pulling off that victory with, you know, so many important players out, and he put up almost 100 points on Bowling Green. I was impressed by what I saw.
Yeah. And I really just, you know, I think Buffalo is kind of getting to that point where they have the culture and they have the recent tradition where you can just kind of write them down as one of those teams that's going to figure it out. They have so much talent. Really feels like Bowling Green had a chance to steal one, you know, at least on paper, and then just kind of fell flat in that game. Buffalo, I think you're seeing their depth, you know, and I think they have a depth where maybe outside of Ohio, you don't see anywhere else in a conference. In weird times like this, that means so much. And, to be able to get that win, that could be a big one down the road, especially looking at what they did in a non-conference, which was somewhat underwhelming for Buffalo.
Yeah, it certainly was. I also, Vanzi, I wanted to get your thoughts, that your Eagles had a couple games, their first two conference games postponed, at Ohio and then Buffalo at home. They finally returned to action last night, going to Kalamazoo to take on Western Michigan. I got it. This was the first time I had really had a chance to see the Eagles play in a couple of weeks, Fancy. But I don't know, if I was an Eastern Michigan fan, I would be encouraged by a lot of what I saw. Noah Farrakhan looked great, 25 points, 10 of 17 from the field. Thomas Benelli was back. He had 11 points. Spotsville had 11. And then obviously, Bryce McBride off the bench with 18, a really nice, well-balanced performance offensively for the Eagles. Vanzi, what did you think about their display last night in Kalamazoo?
Yeah, I was impressed. Granted, it is Western Michigan, and they look like probably the worst team in the MAC right now. But yeah, I thought it was an impressive win. For all the turnover this roster has had happen, it looks like probably Eastern Michigan's probably the class of the Michigan MAC schools with Noah Farrakhan. They're still sorting through some COVID. And in fact, that last time out, they didn't have head coach Stan Heath. They had Bob Simon was coaching it and got his, first victory at EMU. So that was good to see. But I think they're a sleeper in this race, and it sounds bad to say, but if you can put the COVID behind you early and, just kind of focus on getting some practices and growing as a team, who knows where you could be at the end. I think this is an Eastern Michigan team that is going to be better later in the season, just because there's so many new parts. So the fact that you're seeing potential right now really could bode well for this group down the road.
I totally agree with that. I think there's a couple MAC teams that I think you could say that about. Probably Central Michigan as well, with all those new pieces they have there. But I think Eastern Michigan's roster, as compared to Central Michigan, probably a little bit better constructed and more cohesive, it seems like. So certainly, I certainly agree with your assessment in terms of the being the best of the Michigan MAC schools this year. I also, while we're talking about Western Michigan, it's going to be a long year in Kalamazoo, and I feel like we're talking bad about the Broncos every week here, but I got to give a shout out here to Lamar Norman Jr., the junior from Grand Rapids. He is playing at a very high level right now, including last night against Eastern Michigan, 34 points, 56% from the field, a couple assists as well, had 21 on Saturday against Ohio. So a good start to conference play for him. He currently, I think, sits third. Yeah, he's currently third in the conference in points per game, 18.9, behind only Ryan Rollins and Mark Sears. And speaking of Mark Sears, Vanzi, one other team I wanted to talk about here is it's Ohio. I mentioned that I feel like, there's that top tier in the MAC right now with like Ohio, Toledo, Akron. You could probably throw Buffalo, and maybe you could convince me to throw Kent State into that mix as well. But even among those teams, Vanzi, right now, Ohio to me is playing at another level. A really nice road victory at Akron last night, 69-63, opened up conference play with a road win over Western Michigan, 59-47. So they open up conference play with two road games, come away with two victories. And again, last night against Akron, they hold the Zips to 39% from the field. They win the rebounding battle. They're balanced offensively. Mark Sears with 24, Jason Carter with 19. Vanderplas had 11. I really, this to me right here, Vanzi, at least at this juncture right now, I think Ohio is the best team in the conference. It doesn't seem particularly close to me. Obviously, I know Akron and Toledo and some other teams are going to have something to say about that before March rolls around, but I really like what I'm seeing from the Bobcats right now.
Yeah, no, Jason Preston off to the NBA, no problem there in Ohio. And I think when you look at it, like you said, they're the class of the MAC. I think Akron, they already beat Akron, Toledo lost to Kent State, Buffalo, they had their down run. So yeah, I think Ohio looks like the class of the MAC. I think they are just, they're going to be tough to beat all season long. They have the fan support down there. And I think that's going to be a good team. One thing that's interesting, you mentioned Norman from WMU. And when I look at kind of the all MAC potential players, you could see, not a lot of love giving to the Michigan teams this year, potentially outside of this podcast, but you could potentially have, I would have Norman and Noah Farrakhan on that list. Yes. It'd be kind of interesting to see two players from the Michigan MAC make first team all MAC potentially when those teams are not at the front of the standing. So it could be interesting to see.
Yeah, totally agree with you. And you look at the two guys you mentioned there with Norman and Farrakhan, both in the top five in the MAC in terms of points per game. Lamar Norman, 18.9. Noah Farrakhan right behind him at 17.9. He sits fifth in the conference in scoring. Through 2 weeks, Vanzi, Has there been anything that has surprised you or caught you off guard about what you see so far? I mean, to me, I think you said it perfectly as we kind of transition into this basketball conversation, where it seems like a lot of parity in the MAC this year. You see a lot of teams right now sitting, you know, 1-1, 2-1, 1-2, obviously not a ton of separation yet with most teams only having played two games. Any results or trends or things you've seen that have caught you off guard that you didn't expect?
Well, I just think, you know, I try to put some stock into, you know, the non-conference play. And I think when you look at it, you can kind of feel like, hey, we can throw out the non-conference play because you have teams that you felt weren't very good all of a sudden look pretty good in conference play. It's reminding me a lot of the football season, you know, where everyone's kind of in that same boat with one or two teams maybe at the end rising up. But yeah, you're seeing a lot of that right now, a lot of parity, very close. You know, I'm real curious to see, you know, what Kent State is, you know, because, you know, we've talked about how they're always kind of there and they're sneaky with Rob Senderoff as the head coach. And I thought, you know, they were going to have a bad men's basketball team and a great women's team. And those two, since entering conference play, have really flip-flopped. So I wouldn't rule out Kent State in the mix after these early returns. I honestly, you know, like we could sit here and ask questions and talk about it, but at this point outside of Ohio, you know, being number one and Western being last, I feel like we can't really know much of anything.
Totally agree with you. And I'm glad you mentioned Kent State, Vanzi, because to me, I guess there's probably a couple teams in the conference, but you could put in this category for me, but them more than anyone, they're just one of those teams. I just cannot figure them out. I can't figure the Golden Flashes out. You know, I watched a couple of their games in the non-conference schedule. I watched them lose by 15 at home to Towson. I watched them lose at home to Southern. They had a couple other questionable losses, East Tennessee State in there. And then they open conference play with a loss at home to Central Michigan, one of Central Michigan's two wins of the season in that game. And then they bounce back this last week and they give us two good performances. They knock off Toledo at home. They go on the road and get a road victory at Ball State. So they're an enigma to me right now, and I'm curious to see. You know, this is a perfect transition as we move into, let's take a look at this next coming week's games and starting with this weekend, kind of a prove it game to me for Kent State starting on tomorrow night, Friday night, if you're listening to this when it's released, the game is tonight, going down to Athens to take on Ohio, 6:30 tip off. Golden Flash is taking on the Bobcats. Bobcats have won six in a row, the hottest team in the conference. So a really, really good game on a Friday night to kick off the slate for the weekend for the MAC, Vanzi. Any other games this weekend that you have scheduled that are intriguing to you?
Well, yeah, I had Kent, Ohio pretty high on my list. Yeah, I'm going to go Ball State EMU. I think that's going to be one where you can kind of figure out. You know, I think the loser of that game, you're probably okay. You can write them off. The winner, you've got to keep an eye on and then potentially see a little bit more of it. And also Western Michigan Central, you know, that's a rivalry game. You know, I mean, potentially the bottom of the MAC, but you know, it's a rivalry game. If Western or Central can beat the rival, you know, that makes a season in some cases. So that could be an interesting one as well. Potentially a hard fought one.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, another one that is interesting to me, Vanzi, I'm curious. I want to see what Northern Illinois looks like. I know the Huskies, not very high expectations this year with first year for head coach Rashawn Berno. Huskies, you know, they had that really nice win at Washington to open up their season. They've come back to earth a little bit since then. They enter conference play here at 3-7. They haven't played since December 19th. Their last couple games have gotten postponed, so they've been off for about 3 weeks. They open conference play on Saturday, a tall task. They travel to Toledo, taking on the Rockets, who are currently 10-1 in the conference. Northern Illinois defensively, I mean, they're only giving up 67 points a game, but the Huskies, man, it's tough sledding for on offense for them. Only scoring 56.7 a game, only shooting 37% from the field. I think if Northern Illinois defensively can contain Ryan Rollins and Shumate and some of the other guys that the Rockets have that can hit shots, the Huskies will have a chance in this game. But that's, you know, stopping Ryan Rollins is certainly a task easier said than done. Also, this on Tuesday, Vanzi, I'm curious what are your thoughts on. You mentioned the Central and Western game on Saturday. We got another Michigan versus Michigan matchup on Tuesday. Central traveling down to Ipsy to take on the Eagles. What do you think about that matchup?
Yeah, what's interesting is that they do play for the Michigan MAC trophy in basketball as well. I don't know if there's an actual trophy or just kind of, you know, they give you like a statement or something. But yeah, that would be, you know, Eastern would be well underway to owning that crown with a victory over Central Michigan. Central, I don't really like the pieces, you know, you talk about Western. Well, Central's not much better. And you look at the Eastern against Western game. Well, that was closer because late in the game, you kind of had them calling off the dogs, had some guys coming back from COVID and just, you know, the ebb and flow of a basketball game. So that one looked closer. But I think if you're Eastern Michigan, you know, you got a tough one against Ball State. Ball State's going to be physical. They're going to hang around and they're going to challenge you. But then if you can beat Central Michigan and you're coming out of a COVID pause and you win 2 out of 3 or potentially 3 out of 3, Eastern Michigan's got to feel pretty good about it. Central Michigan doesn't have a whole lot, you know, really going for it right now. You know, it would mean a lot to them to beat Western and to beat EMU.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I know we talked about this briefly, but I agree with your assessment of the Chippewas and kind of just like their roster construction to me. I don't know. Whenever I watch them play, I don't see the vision, or I don't see I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't see the style of play that they're looking for. They just seem like a bunch of odd fitting parts that Tony Barbie kind of threw together. So it looked like, It looks like it might be a long year up in Mount Pleasant, as we've touched on already previously.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move into the women's side of things here, Vanzi. You've had some you kind of alluded to it earlier. We've had some interesting results here over the last couple of weeks as conference play has started. You mentioned Kent State. Kent State entered conference play at 8-1 with really, really good non-conference victories over UCLA and Penn State. They played really well in the non-conference schedule, and then they opened up a conference play here 0-3 over the last couple of weeks. Losses to Toledo, Western Michigan, and Akron. We got Toledo. Mentioning Toledo, they're sitting at top of the conference at 3-0, tied for first place with Buffalo. The Rockets 9-3, the Bulls 9-4. What do you think about anything that's kind of caught your eye here over the last week on the women's side of things, Vanzi?
Yeah, I mean, weird season, you know. I mean, I think we all kind of felt that Buffalo would be there, and they are there. They're probably the class of the conference right now. Toledo. You know, I think some people thought it would be a little bit of a down year, but they're right in the mix right now. And that's another program that is just consistently good. So I think you got to, you know, be looking at them as a challenger. Western Michigan keeps winning and hanging out at the top of the standings, while familiar, you know, front runner Central Michigan is 3-9.
Yeah.
And now Kent State is 0-3. So, I mean, there's surprises aplenty on this side of MAC basketball, the women's side, you know, and it's one of those things where, again, you can tear up the non-conference schedules at this point and then throw them out because they don't mean anything right now. Looking at it, Kent State with some nice wins, thought they might have had a chance to be ranked. Certainly not going to happen now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, it is crazy. It's, I mean, some of the results that we've gotten here over the last week or so, I mean, you mentioned, you know, Kent State falling flat on their face. And also, you know, we look at Buffalo. I think to me right now, Vanzi, on this side of the fence in women's hoops, Buffalo to me looks like the team to beat. And I can't get past how good Dash Affair is for the Bulls. Last night against Bowling Green, 14 of 22 from the field, 6 for 10 from 3, 6 for 8 from the line, 40 points to go along with 4 assists and 3 rebounds. Then you had Summer Hemphill with 19 and 10. She gives the double-double. Buffalo with a 25-6 second quarter kind of ran away from the Falcons there, and the Falcons were not able to recover. Buffalo with an 82-66 victory there. They currently sit 3-0 in the MAC. And Vanzi here, I mean, Buffalo defensively, they kind of ebb and flow here a little bit. They've had some suspect defensive performances. They're currently 8th in the MAC in total defense. But man, offensively, they're scoring 78 a game. They're shooting well from the field. Dasha Fair and Hemphill really kind of are the straws that stir the drink, if you will. I think, you know, there's other good teams in this conference. Obviously, Ohio's always going to be there. That's a team we haven't mentioned yet with, you know, CeCe Hooks and Erica Johnson. But I mean, still, this Buffalo team, it feels to me like they're a team, you know, they've been there. They've been close the last couple of years. They weren't able to get past Central Michigan. But man, it feels to me like this year, Buffalo right now, I know we still got 2 months left, but Buffalo feels like the team right now.
Yeah, I couldn't go against them. You know, okay, Toledo looks good right now. I just watched Toledo and it's like, okay, that's a nice team. And you know, you watch Buffalo and oh, that's a really good team. They got the conference's best play.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been knocking on the doorstep. They've been to the NCAA tournament. They're getting some national love every year. And I just think Buffalo, you know, as they say, I think they're a wagon. I think they're going to be there and they're going to be the team to beat on this side. And for me, I'm barring something unforeseen. The question is, does a Toledo, does a Western Michigan, does somebody else play well enough or not beat up on each other to get the MAC two women's teams into the NCAA tournament? We've seen that in recent years. You know, I thought it'd be Buffalo and Kent State. Maybe it's Buffalo and Toledo now, or maybe Western keeps winning and staying in that mix. But for me, I don't see anyone overtaking Buffalo. It's certainly possible. Long way to go. But yeah, I agree with your assessment that Buffalo is the team to beat.
And you know, it's funny because statistically, when you look at all the teams here on the women's side of things, there's nothing that really stands out. And what I mean by that is that you don't have a single team in the conference this year that's really, really good on both sides of the ball. You have Toledo's first in the conference in total defense. They're only giving up 57 points a game, but they're 9th in offense. You got Ohio, who's the flip side of that. They're averaging 81 a game. They're first in offense, but they have trouble stopping people. They're giving up 71 a game, which is 11th in front of only Northern Illinois. Kind of similar with Buffalo. Buffalo 2nd in offense, 8th in defense. You know, you look at, you know, Western Michigan, 10th in offense, 2nd in defense. So it seems like these teams, they have their strengths, but they all have a vulnerability as well that some of these other teams within the conference are going to be able to take advantage of this year. And that's what I think to me is going to make this race down the stretch really, really interesting. And you know, I agree with what you're saying about, you know, you look at Toledo, you look at Western Michigan as challengers for Buffalo, but I don't think we can forget about Ohio either. Ohio hasn't played a game, much like we were talking with Northern Illinois on the men's side. Ohio has not played a game in about 3 weeks. Their last time they played was they beat Binghamton. December 19th. They beat Binghamton in a pre-Christmas holiday tournament. They've been on a COVID pause since then. They take on Northern Illinois on Saturday as they start their conference season. And then the big game for me on next Wednesday evening, Buffalo travels to Athens to take on Ohio. Three of the best players in the conference in that game with Dasha Fair from Buffalo and then Erica Johnson and CeCe Hooks suiting up for the Bobcats. So I'll be very curious to see what form the Bobcats have whenever they come out of this COVID pause here over the next week or so. Vanzi, any matchups you're looking at this weekend or next week on the women's side of things that kind of catch your attention?
Yeah, I mean, you got Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan. I think the loser of that game, you can kind of write them off for this year. I mean, if Eastern Michigan beats Central Michigan, the usual power, I think you can simply say, you know, that Central Michigan isn't going to be in a race. Not real high. Eastern Michigan's got some talented pieces, some talented transfers, but they just haven't come together yet. You know, not looking good there. But I, the one that I circled was Western Michigan Toledo. You know, two of the top teams in the MAC. I think that's going to be a great game. Western Michigan, I've been bullish on them, and they just keep winning, and they just stay at the top of the standing, strong defense, like you said. I mean, that's a game there that should be very low scoring, Toledo against Western.
Yeah.
I would look forward to that one, I would say.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Toledo and Western, to me, those much like we talked about with Kent State having a show me game against Ohio on the men's side of things this weekend, that's kind of a show me game for both of these teams. I want to see which one of them really is for real. And maybe both of them are. And you know, maybe it'll be a close, you know, close game down to the wire up in Kalamazoo on Saturday. One more I wanted to mention, you know, Vanzi, I'm not quite ready to write off Kent State just yet, just because of how well they played in the non-conference play with Katie Schumate and you know, some of their other high profile players. I know they're 0-3 in the MAC, but they're still 8-4 overall. They have a really, really big opportunity on Saturday. They're traveling up to Buffalo to take on Dasha Fair and the Bulls. I think it's like this to me right here, Vanzi, is like, this is like one of those games where it's like, you got to give everything you got if you're Kent State in this game, right? You got to stop the bleeding. You've lost three in a row. You got to get your feet back underneath you here. I think if Kent State can pull off the upset and beat Buffalo at Buffalo on Saturday, I think we might see Kent State start to get back into this race. Obviously, winning at Buffalo, easier said than done, but I'm not ready to 100% write off the Golden Flashes just yet. I want to see what they can do on Saturday. If they lose this game on Saturday, I think things might start to go south pretty quickly for them, but I think this is a big opportunity for the Golden Flashes here to kind of get themselves back on track.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, on the men's side, we have so much basketball left.
Yeah.
And it's just such a blurry picture, you know, like we both wear glasses, and looking at the standings, I mean, it's like we're looking at it without our glasses. It doesn't comprehend what we saw in non-conference and what we're seeing in conference play. And then you try to, you know, expand this out and kind of predict the rest of the season. You know, I don't know what we're looking at or what we're going to be looking at. It's, you know, it's again, reminding me very much on both sides of the gender spectrum. It reminds me very much of MAC football, where it's just, everybody is just in this mosh pit, just pushing and shoving, trying to come out on top.
It really is. I mean, that, to me, it's the best part about the MAC. It really is. I mean, there's so much, I don't know about so much, but I think the separation between the bottom of the conference and the top of the conference in the MAC is much less than it is in, you know, you look at like, you know, the Big Ten or any of the Power Five conferences. I guess they call it Power Six in basketball. But I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, some of the dregs of some of the Power Five conferences, you know, they go on the road and, you know, and whether it be the Big 12, SEC, ACC, whatever, you see teams go on the road in those conferences, they're getting blown out by 20, 25 points every night. Obviously that happens in the MAC too, but I don't think it doesn't happen quite as often. These teams feel very much more, you know, there's a lot more parity here, which makes it so much more fun to follow. I really do love it. So it's been an interesting two weeks here to open up conference play in hoops. Obviously on the men's side and the women's side, we've seen some great games, some great performances individually and team wise. Vanzi, anything we didn't touch on, any final thoughts, any words of wisdom for the people before we get out of here tonight?
No, and real quick, I would just say, I think that the fact that the MAC isn't able to have that team just kind of pull away kind of hurts it nationally.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, it makes for a better product, and you may not see that high watermark of a team ranked nationally, but I think you'll see a better, more competitive race in season.
I totally agree. And that right there, that's an interesting conversation to have among Group of Five conferences in football and basketball, where it's like for the brand of the conference in general on a national scale, obviously, I think most people would rather have that one great team that can get up into the top 15 or whatever. You think about Western Michigan in 2016 or, you know, some of the other great group of five teams in football that have done that. I think for nationally for the conference, that's probably better. But within the fan bases themselves, within the conference footprint, I think most MAC fans would take this and the parity here over, you know, over that Nationals. But obviously you want to get that, and you're going to get that, you know, once every 5 years or whatever the case may be, you'll get either Western Michigan in football or, you know, Ohio's basketball team last year, you know, going into getting into the second round, knocking off Virginia. So it's an interesting conversation, and everyone seems to have a different opinion on that. But yeah, I agree with you. The product is, it makes for a better product, a more interesting product, a more entertaining product, which that's what I would take any day. I think, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I would too. I mean, you know, you have all these games. I mean, if you're going to go out to the arena, and all these games could matter, you know, like two wins, one win, you know, a loss here or there, and it could really shift the standings. I think some of these other conferences, you know, you can write off half of their league contingent really before Valentine's.
It's so true. And, you know, as much as I hate to say it, you know, as a Penn State basketball fan, most years I know going in, Penn State, they don't win the Big Ten this year. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of teams in the MAC, I mean, obviously there's a couple teams in the MAC that can say that some years. And, you know, this year you look at Central and Western Michigan, they probably knew that. But I think most, you know, 8, 9, 10 teams in the conference going in this year, they think they have a shot to win. And I agree with them. It's they have a legitimate shot to win. And it's pretty, it makes for a great product. It really does. So, anyway, folks, we're only, as you know, Vanzi, as you alluded to a couple minutes ago, there's still so much basketball to be played here. We're still over two months away from the conference tournament there at Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. So it's going to be an interesting couple of months. Obviously, a lot left to unfold. We got some great games this weekend, some great games next week. Take some time to hopefully you're taking some time to decompress after the holidays. And hopefully, I don't know. Vanzi, what's your leftover situation? You still dealing with a lot there or what?
Well, I mean, I at this point, if there's any leftovers, they're starting to go bad.
Yeah.
So I had to pitch some. But, you know, I pitched a lot of greens and in a lot of, you know, stuff with nutritional value. But I'm telling you, the pie is still in there. I'm hanging on to that pie. You know, it may start getting fuzzy on me. But, hey, you know, pumpkin pie, I may not get it till next Thanksgiving. So I gotta get on that.
Yeah, there you go. That's perhaps something to put on top of the to-do list there here in the next few days. Make sure that doesn't go bad. Awesome. Well, hey, everyone, as always, thank you for stopping by this week. We appreciate it as always. Enjoy the hoops this weekend. Enjoy whatever else you got going. Last weekend of NFL football before the playoffs start. It's always it's a good time. We got that playoff football, obviously the college football playoff national championship game coming up on Monday. Before we get out of here, Vanzi, your prediction for the college football playoff national championship game. Who you got, Georgia, Bama?
I'm going to go Bama, and I'm going to say that Kirby Smart makes a silly play call at some point that gives it to them.
I could absolutely see that. I feel like, you know, just from watching them play over the last couple years, it seems that Saban is in his head. I don't know what it is. He seems to outthink himself in those big moments. So certainly will be well anticipated. I believe last time I checked, I think Georgia was a 3-point favorite in that game, if I'm not mistaken. So that one kicks off Monday night. A lot going on this week. It's a good time of year to be a sports fan. Thank you, as always, for stopping by, folks. For Vanzi, I am Zach Follador. This has been episode 78 of the Mid-American Bandwagon Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.